You know, times have changed, but human nature has never changed. It's amazing that things that we do, things that we see, it's just part of our DNA. It's part of our makeup. And that's a good thing. I entitled my message, Soul Soup. Some people say, well, maybe that's soul food. Well, maybe it is, but I'd rather say it's soul soup. Judy makes a soup that I really enjoy. And I never had it until I met her. But she would take a can of that corned beef, you know, one with the little key on the side that she got. And she uses that to start, and she makes a soup out of that. She starts with that, and she puts in some, what's the name of those things? Some noodles and onions and just all kinds of stuff. It's really good. But I don't know if the soup would be as good if it didn't have that one element of the corned beef. I think all of us know the importance of maintaining a healthy body, mind, and spirit. And we hear all the time that we need to pay attention to the food we eat because exercising is not enough. In order to lower our stress levels, I call that comfort food, but I need to lower my stress levels. To keeping ourselves fit and well so that we extend an age span and live a happier life and more fulfilling. God's dietary laws are really unique because I know when I eat, I'm really susceptible to too many carbohydrates or too many sweets. I don't have diabetes, but I got a lot of the symptoms. So I know that I'm going to experience a bad thing when I eat too much of Bluebell ice cream. But we know that listening to our bodies is an important part of caring for ourselves. We need to pay attention when we're tired and we feel just like, you know, off balance. I've been feeling that way the last couple of weeks for some reason. I don't know why. We need to pay attention to our bodies, though. The natural rhythm and the energy levels. We need to make sure that we're nourishing ourselves in ways that make us feel calm and whole. We also know that we need to care for ourselves emotionally. We need to be aware of the stressors that tax us and the experiences that kind of just drain us. And that keep us engaged and be healthy, to be aware of it. Well, that's good on the physical sense. But what about the spiritual care? How do you care for your spiritual health? All of us are in different areas of that. But how do we do it? The health of our spirits, too, can affect our bodies and our minds and our physical and emotional well-being. So when we feel spiritually empty or depleted, and emotional well-being seems to be gone from us, we are spiritually empty or depleted. Our physical and our emotional state can suffer also during this time. Because we are holistic beings, we need to treat ourselves as whole human beings. Some of us are familiar with the little book that's been around for a long time, Chicken Soup for the Soul. That was always a good lifting, uplifting book. Well, we may eat chicken soup, the old age recipe, what mom said, you got a little cold, you got a little fever, I'm going to make you some chicken soup. And it's amazing, most of the time, it works pretty good. When we feel physically ill, we need a recipe to help us nourish and nudge our souls into health, spiritual health. Because when we feel down or spiritually dejected or depleted of our spiritual strength, goes back to encouraging one another in the faith. That's what we got church for. We come to get encouraged so that we can help others. So the story, when somebody gives a testimony or witness, it's telling of God's real presence in our lives and helps us to remember that we're not alone and that Jesus is our healer. because he's our strength. And he revives us spiritually, mostly, but also physically. So while our emotional health may require us to stand in our inner truth, our spiritual health reminds us to stand in God's truth. Not only is our society under attack, our churches are under attack, and so our bodies are under attack, the spiritual bodies of God. This is not original, I wish it was, because for the last long time, maybe 2,000 years up until this point in time, and when the churches were closed, it sent a really bad message to the body of Christ. Thank God some of them are opening back up now and everything, but what's happened for all those years, we as the church were just going along like we was on a cruise ship. And then now all of a sudden we realize we need to get off of that cruise ship and get on a battleship. It's time. So our emotional health requires us to stand in our inner truth. Our spiritual health reminds us to stand in God's truth. The tools that help us do that, whether it's testimonies or stories or songs or relationships or rituals even, are essential for our soul soup. In Africa, there's a traditional recipe for well-being and whole health called soul soup. It's a healthy, thick soup made up of vegetables and spices and thickened with peanut butter and chickpeas. But it is a well-rounded, healthy meal meant to restore health and energy and well-being and good spirits. A similar soup was born in Ireland, except the Irish vegetable soup includes chunks of chicken. But each soul soup is meant to restore our health. It's a healthy food for our bodies, our mind, and our spirit, and each one of them has a secret ingredient that makes that soup especially effective. I don't think I ever ate a soup with peanut butter in it, but I like peanut butter. I'd be right up front saying, yeah, I'm going to taste that. But we know, too, as Christians, we can do all kinds of things to boost our spirit and soothe our souls. But the only thing that can truly heal a broken spirit or a depleted spirit is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when I got to go home to be with Daddy, I'm going to send you one greater than I to take care of you until I return. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside. For Jesus is the essential ingredient in our soul soup. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, spoke of the body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are to nurture the Spirit within us, so that we can become a living and a holy vehicle for God's grace and love within this old world. Jesus gave us a clue. He said, in this world you're going to have trials and tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. Because we are in the world, not of the world. So when we allow our souls to take in this negativity, to fester in doubt or despair, to become eclipsed by anger, or to suffer debilitating loneliness, or even a disease, we crowd out the Holy Spirit's residence in our entire being, and it suffers the consequences. You don't like to see anybody in pain, or different things, and doctors don't like to see anybody in pain, because a real doctor, when they go through their training and so forth, they come to realize that they have to help that patient by experience and understanding their pain. That's what makes physical doctors so special. They don't want to look at anybody that's in pain, because it comes back to them and they are, you know, experiencing it, and that cry out for help. When Judy was at her one of her days at the worst pain, debilitating, crawled up in the fetal position, our faith come alive. And she knew maybe some of those medicines would help, but she cried out to God. Because that spiritual connection. No, we don't understand a lot of it. A lot of people cry out to God and they still have problems and suffering and even dying. But it's that spiritual connection that gives us a peace. So when we cry it out, crowd out, the Holy Spirit's resonance in our entire being, it suffers. We suffer the consequences because in order for our bodies, mind, spirit to truly be a temple of God's glory, we need to make time and space for Jesus in our lives. So how do you do that, preacher? Well, you can do this anywhere. You don't have to come to church, although we love coming to church, but you can do it anymore. Jesus' Holy Spirit is 24/7. We need to make time for prayer. You pray anywhere, anytime. In worship, which we're here together doing corporate worship, is nice, and I love it, and I'm so glad to see y'all. But you can worship anywhere. Under the tree, sitting on a park bench or something. What's it say in the Psalms? Be still and know I'm God. That's a wonderful way to worship. And then meditation. Meditation is good. Time spent with the Lord in a quiet and a personal place. That's why Jesus told the disciples to go into your prayer closet. What did he mean by that? What's in the prayer closet? Well, it's you and God in a closet. Talking. Not like the hypocrites do, he said, out there and all the realms and the chanting and all that other stuff. It's a personal time with you and God. In the scripture I read today, Jesus teaches his disciples what it means to be temple for God's glory. He deliberately and metaphorically compares the literal Jewish temple in Jerusalem with the temple of his own body. And while his disciples at first didn't understand him literally, as though they were speaking about those big physical rocks with mortar, and it's just hard to believe. Some of those works that are built in the temple and some of the other buildings over the Middle East are as big as that communion table. How they ever got them up there, how they ever did it, I have no clue. But it was built for it never to come down. But the Romans did a pretty good job of it in 70 AD, where they destroyed the temple. The only part of it left now is what we call the Western Wall. And there's plans to build another temple, praise be to God. But he is speaking not about physical brick and mortar in that temple called the temple. They soon realized he was speaking about his own state of our very mortal soul. Just as Jesus drove out commerce and distraction from the temple, the focus on the money changers and the rituals and the sacrifices and the money that was being coming into the temple by people selling things and doves and all neat kinds of things, the physical Jerusalem temple, that statement that he was making, however, was about what we allow to be focused in our inner spirits, the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies, the place where God must dwell in order for us to be the kind of people that God intended us to be. We always talk about a hole in our heart until we ask God to come into our life and that hole is filled. Jesus spoke of his own resurrection spirit that will be destroyed in the crucifixion. Now, we have history on our side, so we know that happened. His crucifixion will be restored and resurrected in 3 days. He remembered that the Lord promised David to build a house. He did, not David. But his son Solomon did build that house. The Lord would nourish and take residence in a spiritual house and a generational house. And he knew that God's plan was coming to fruition in just a few weeks. That's why we celebrate the things that we celebrate on the church calendar, like we're in Lent now. I always like what one old black preacher just preaching his heart out, and he was saying, but Sundays are coming. Sundays are coming. He also knew that, as demonstrated in his transfiguration, which was just a few weeks before, he would be the cornerstone of that spiritual temple upon which all other souls would be built. Jesus would be a living temple. He would be the temple of every king, every living soul, all who would take up his cross and follow him. Not necessarily in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. You know, people get sores and so forth on them, and they go to the store and they get a balm or a little thing to rub on that sore. Jesus is the balm of Gilead, who would soothe any sick soul. And the foundation upon which every soul must find its footing. So today, we are modern day disciples that must allow Jesus to nourish our souls with his healing and powerful presence. To do this, we must create our own soul soup. We must find the things that help us nourish our spirits and to keep them faithful and hopeful. Whether it's stories or people witnessing about God's love in their own individual experience, beautiful songs that speak to us in personal and real ways, books or movies that move us. We've got some good Christian movies in the last few years that moves people. I've been moved by them. Books, movies that move us, to help us with our faith. Rituals sometimes can help God's presence to be around us. Sometimes a ritual kind of thing, as long as it's done in the attitude of worship, it's good for our souls. And I think every one of us knows the way to help us boost our faith. But I'll give you a couple ideas in closing. What helps you restore your faith? As I said before, I'd love to give everybody my faith. Not that I have a better faith than anybody else, but I can't do that. You have to develop your own faith. So what helps you to renew your faith? You walk on the beach, listen to soothing music, remember times in your lives when God was there with you all alone. I love that poem, Footprints. Because I walked that beach one time. Pray and feel God's presence in your life. Holy Communion, which we're going to take in a very unusual way during this pandemic time. But it's still communion. It's the ritual. Sing. You all sing good. I'll tell you, this little church has got some fantastic acoustics, because being up here and hearing you all sing, it's the most beautiful thing you ever heard, even when we had, you know, fewer people. So whatever ingredient that you require for your own soul soup, make sure to keep them close by. But whatever you do, don't forget the essential secret ingredient, the one that transforms your soul soup into a temple-building, spiritual-boosting, life-transfiguring powerhouse: the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. You see, for Christians, we always have that secret ingredient in our health and our wellness and our hope, for he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through him. This Lenten season, I hope this particular time, and it's something that we think about and everything, that you make a soul soup every day. Stir up a new space in your soup for your own soul soup.